us now.
The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 24, page 1061 in the Bibles in the pews. Starting at verse 13, Luke 24, starting at verse 13. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have been happening here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. And can I add my welcome to Katie's as well and just say it's great to be with you. Isn't that such a wonderful reading? Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank you so much for your word and for this truly awesome reading this morning. Please would you come and breathe your life and hope into our lives and help me as I preach. Come and do what only you can do. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I want to begin by taking you back to the year 2007, to a slightly more fruity and rebellious time in my life. I was sat on a bench with my best friend in Lancaster in the north. I'd not been taking my faith particularly seriously. I'd gone off to university and kind of lived for myself, but I reached a crisis point in my life, a crisis of meaning in many ways. A relationship I was in at the time ended, and a bunch of things all coalesced together to leave me in this place of a meaning vacuum. And in the background to all of this, was the loss of my mum to cancer as well. So when I was 7, my mum got sick very sadly and died from cancer. And looking back now on that whole period of my life in my sort of, 18, 19, early 20s, I could see that I was carrying actually a lot of unprocessed pain from that, which kind of added fuel to the fire of this meaning crisis in my life. And I just began to have this sense that there's got to be more to life than just the pursuit of pleasure, relationships, and whatever else it is. And so I just remember sitting on this bench in Lancaster with my best friend, who was a Christian. I had a cigarette in my hand. I don't smoke anymore, just to be clear. But I remember saying to him, I just feel like in my hour of need, that God has been totally absent. Now, I'll come back to that story later. But why am I sharing this with you? Well, because we're in an exciting preaching series entitled New Every Morning, 6 Weeks of Resurrection Life. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to be looking at how the resurrection of Jesus makes an actual and tangible difference to our lives. And today we're going to be looking at how the resurrection speaks so powerfully into the experience of despair. And that's why the title for today's message is Grace That Lifts Us From Despair. Grace That Lifts Us From Despair. Now, you may or may not be feeling despair today, but even if you're not feeling despair today, I'd submit to you that knowing and being reminded of how Jesus brings hope to his people where it matters is just so wonderful and important. And the story begins right near the end of Luke's gospel. It's 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's already appeared to Mary Magdalene. And the reading picks up with two disappointed and despairing people walking along the road away from Jerusalem and seemingly away from God's purpose for their life. It's not clear if this is a husband and wife or just two friends. But starting at verse 14, it says that they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Can you imagine that? And verse 17, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And then it says this, they stood still, their faces downcast. You know, Jesus doesn't sit waiting for us to muster up the faith to approach him. He approaches us. Jesus is not waiting for us to pull up our religious bootstraps and reach out to him. No, the amazing truth is that he reaches out to us first. He approaches us and walks with us. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the amazingly good news of God's grace. And you might be here today and feeling, you know, that God doesn't want anything to do with me in my despair or doubt. And let's be honest, we all feel doubt and disappointment sometimes, don't we? It might be despair about a chronic health struggle. It might be despair about your ability to stop doing something that you know is wrong. It might be the grinding despair of grief or bereavement. It might just be a bit like the people on the road to Emmaus, dashed hopes, where you thought God was calling you to do something, and then the door feels like it's been very cruelly just slammed in your face. And verse 21 is very revealing, isn't it? They say, but we had hoped. We had hoped. Notice the past tense there, that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. What a heartbreaking phrase that is. But Jesus comes right alongside them with such tenderness and love and walks and talks with them. And the amazing truth is that God doesn't sit on the clouds, sort of judging us from afar. He draws close. He engages with us when we least expect it, with such amazing grace. And we see that Jesus comes to us with three things in this reading. He comes with the scriptures, he comes with the sacrament, and he comes with his spirit. So the scriptures, the sacrament, and the spirit. So firstly, Jesus comes to us with the scriptures. Verses 25 to 27, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Talk about an epic Bible study. To have the risen Jesus teach you the scriptures from beginning to end in one go. I just wish I could have been a fly on the wall in that conversation. And what's clear is that at the center of their confusion about Jesus is they don't understand how all the scriptures point to Jesus, and especially they don't understand why Jesus had to suffer before entering his glory. It's a good point of discernment to ask yourself as well when you're testing things evaluating things, to ask, is this promising glory before the cross? Is it over-promising glory but not being honest about the cross? And he says, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? They were expecting the Messiah to be a military ruler, to sort of overthrow the Romans and cruise to victory like a god. And what's interesting is that Jesus could have said, you know, well, duh, you know, I'm the resurrected Christ talking to you right now, so get with the program, believe in me. But Jesus doesn't do that. He wants them to understand, and he takes the time to help them understand from the scriptures. He teaches them from the scriptures. And so this is not just me and my Bible on my own, as important as that is. This is about the teaching of the scriptures. And the office of teaching in the church is absolutely fundamental. Nikki and I have been so blessed by Martha and the team's incredible teaching here. But it's not just the scriptures on their own. It's the teaching of the scriptures that God is committed to. The unfolding of your word gives light, says Psalm 119. There's a power that is unleashed when God's word is taught. And the reason that so much preaching today lacks power and relevance is because at root, it's moved away from the scriptures. But one of the litmus tests that God is on the move, and you can see this again and again in the Bible and church history, is that the scriptures go higher and higher and higher in the estimation and respect they gain among God's people. And the teaching of the scriptures are especially powerful in their ability to lift people out of despair and discouragement. So just listen to the difference that Jesus' teaching made to these two people. They asked each other, verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And later they flip around the journey they've been making away from Jerusalem and actually go back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples what they've experienced. It's amazing. The teaching they receive moves them from being downcast and doubting people, quite literally walking away from God's purpose for their life, to going back to Jerusalem with their hearts on fire for Jesus. What happened? Jesus came to them with the scriptures and their life was not the same again. And Jesus is still doing this today. That doesn't mean that Jesus will sort of, you know, instantly solve all of our problems if we just receive his teaching. But it does mean that the burden of following God, of keeping faith, of getting past discouragement and despair is lifted off our shoulders and put entirely on God's word. And the phrase on my heart as I was preparing this talk was, Matt, let God's promises do the heavy lifting for you. Let God's promises do the heavy lifting for you. When disappointment hits in the pit of your stomach, when despair is banging on the door of your heart, self-help just won't cut it. The well wishes of friends don't cut it. The only thing that does cut it is resting on the promises of God. Here's just a few of God's promises to his people. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, I will remember their sins no more. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. I will strengthen you and help you. Isaiah 41, verse 10. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Psalm 32, verse 8. And all of these promises were told. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ and through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So how does Jesus lift us out of despair? First point, he comes to us with the scriptures. But Jesus also comes to us with the sacrament. Verse 30, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So Jesus is invited to stay with the people he's been teaching on the road, and Jesus takes this kind of regular meal and turns it into a celebration of the Lord's Supper. And you can see that it's the Lord's Supper by the language that he uses. Took, blessed, broke, gave. He's deliberately mirroring language of the Last Supper. And the Holy Spirit uses the moment when Jesus takes the bread to open the eyes of Cleopas and his companions so that they recognize Jesus. And then Jesus pulls a Houdini act and instantly disappears. I love that. Probably with a smile on his face. But the fact that Jesus disappears exactly as he's breaking the bread is of huge significance. It's like Jesus is saying, I might be physically absent from now on, but when you celebrate communion, it's like I will be right there with you by my Spirit. Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul calls communion a participation in Christ. Basically, a share in Christ. It is deeply mysterious. And Jesus comes to these dejected disciples in Scripture and in sacrament. And actually, when we feel despair and discouragement or disappointment in some way, God has given us the Lord's Supper, which we'll celebrate in just a moment, as a wonderful way to reassure and strengthen our faith. I want to commend it to you, not as a dead religious ritual, which I'm sad to say is how some Christians can treat communion sometimes, but as the very lifeblood of our faith in which Christ is present by his Spirit. And to understand this, it's a bit like, have you ever experienced the difference between someone wishing you a happy birthday and someone coming to you, you know, full of joy and handing you a thoughtfully written card and a gift? And it's a bit like that with communion. God brings us good news in words through Scripture, but then he supercharges it with the gift of bread and wine to bring home the reality of our forgiveness in a more tangible way for us. So when we celebrate communion later, can I encourage you to not just go through the motions, but to come to it with a real expectancy and a hunger that the Lord will strengthen you and help you to keep your confidence in him. Jesus comes to us with the scriptures. He comes to us with the sacrament. And finally, Jesus comes to us with his Spirit. Verses 31 to 32, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight and they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? You know, the Spirit is not a kind of afterthought to the Christian life or icing on the cake. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, there's no understanding of the scriptures. There's no benefit to be derived from the sacrament. And that is, without the Holy Spirit, there is no change that matters in the sight of God. And there's certainly no help for us to get out of despair or discouragement without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who changes these downcast and doubting people into confident witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. And knowing our utter reliance on the Holy Spirit for anything good in the Christian life is just so foundational and so important. You know, recently I was reading a poll in a Facebook group that I'm in, a leadership group on Facebook, and the question was quite a simple one. It was, what is the one piece of leadership advice that you would give in one sentence? And the answer that really stood out to me, and it turns out this guy is the director of ministry for the Church of England. I didn't realize that at the time. But he said this, regularly acknowledge in your prayers that you are doomed without the Lord's help. regularly acknowledge in your prayers that you're doomed without the Lord's help, I went away and realized that is probably the most raw and real and helpful advice I've received in a long time, not just for leadership, but actually for living the Christian life. The Holy Spirit changes everything. And when it says that their hearts burned within them, that is what the Holy Spirit does. He sets us on fire with love for Jesus and gives us this incredible sense of intimacy and access to God. He comes and does what only he can do. In Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul describes it like this. He says, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. Yeah, I strongly suspect that Cleopas and his friend were experiencing this exact reality when they talked with Jesus. Now, I started by sharing that moment in 2007 when I was sat on a bench with my friend with a cigarette. And you know what happened after I said to him, I feel like in my hour of need that God has been totally absent. Well, he turned to me and he simply said this, don't give up. And as we spoke, Jesus came by his Spirit and used that conversation to lift me out of despair. It was a remarkable conversation, and we experienced verse 32, our hearts burning within us. And so I reluctantly went along to church. I had a powerful encounter with God, which after years of hardened emotions, the best way I can describe it is like I was able to feel again. I was able to cry again, to feel joy again. And I don't want to give the impression that life was just plain sailing from that. It wasn't. But none of that would have made any difference without the presence and reality of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is actually risen from the dead. And Jesus is here this morning to lift off our shoulders discouragement and despair. He comes with the scriptures. He comes with the sacrament, and he comes by his Spirit that we might say with fresh faith the words that we were saying earlier in this service. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would lift discouragement or despair off the shoulders of your people this morning. Help us to more deeply trust and rely on your promises and not on ourselves. And we especially ask that the reality of the resurrection would be more and more our source of strength, our song, our dependence. That we would know the incomparable power of Christ in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.